Talking Business on Radio Q.
Well, joining me now is Zed Zanjana, who's the CEO of Quest Apartment Hotels. G'day, Zed.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Now, you've been at Quest since 2011, is that right?
That's right.
So we'll start by Paul Constantino. Did I say that right?
You did. Very well done.
Now, I interviewed him for Qantas quite a while ago, but a lot's changed since then, not just you taking over as CEO, but also the business has kind of been sold.
Yeah, look, it's a lot has changed in the last sort of 6 years or so, and we've grown by probably 30, 40 properties as well since you last spoke to Paul.
They're everywhere. Every corner has got a Quest on it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's great. Look, we have the capacity to be able to deliver new product to suburban, regional and CBD Australia. So it gives us a lot of breadth of opportunity to be able to pursue growth. And look, on average, we open, you know, between 6 and 10 new greenfield properties a year, which adds about 10% new supply to our network per annum. And we've done that, I think, since 1999.
Well, it's because it's franchised, right? So all of the properties, or most of the properties, are franchised, which gives you the opportunity to scale it quite rapidly.
That's right, exactly. It's sort of a capital-light business model. They're all franchised by owner-operators. The owner-operators don't actually build the buildings. The buildings are built through relationships that we build with third-party developers, who we then sign a long-term lease with, and then we franchise the operation, a little bit like a McDonald's or a Subway, a business format franchise model, where we'll teach the franchisee how to operate the business in line with the Quest standards, but they don't necessarily need to come with a skill set around how to run a hotel. But the model enables us to be able to scale a lot quicker, because it's not dependent on our own ability to source capital for ourselves to build the new hotels. And each project is somewhere between $20 and $50 million. And so in order to rapidly grow a hotel group, it's challenging if you're trying to do it off your own balance sheet.
Yeah, of course, that's right. Tell us a bit about the new owners, the Singaporean company, Capital Land Group, and their subsidiary. It's called the Ascot.
That's right. So Capital Land is a Singapore-listed entity. It's one of the largest real estate developers and owners in Asia. I think they own around $80 billion worth of assets across retail, commercial, residential and hotels. They have about 4 or 5 REITs that sit under them, including a serviced apartment REIT. And the Ascot Limited is a
REIT wholly stands owned for Real Estate Investment Trust.
Just, correct,
just
yep.
Injecting that.
So they are a wholly owned subsidiary is the Ascot Limited, which is their a suite of brands for the operation of their serviced apartment product. So the Ascot is the largest serviced apartment operator globally. They have now, with the addition of their 80% stake in Quest, have close to 400 plus apartment hotels around the globe.
But are any of those franchised apart from the Quest ones?
No. Well, there's probably one or two that are brand franchised, but apart from that, their model is more a management model. So it's quite a good complement of skill sets and capital. I mean, we're a business that's grown for nearly 30 years with no capital. They're a business that it's all about capital. And so it's a great partnership between the two of us. And they like our franchise model in the sense that it enables them to scale their growth aspirations around the world in more of a capital light way. And it complements the management model that they operate.
So tell us about how the relationship with them came about. I mean, because I understand that they bought 20% of the business to begin with in 2014.
Yeah.
Did Paul decide that it was time for him to start stepping out and he wanted to set up a retirement strategy at that point? Is that how it started?
Yeah, it wasn't so much.
And he went around sort of finding somebody?
No, it was a different proposition. At the time, we were looking for a property partner, and mainly for our third party developers. So as I said, we open 6 to 10 a year, new greenfield projects. And for our developers, what we look to do is partner with them and remove some of the frustrations associated with development. And one of the key frustrations around development is takeout, because not all developers want to hold hotel assets into the future. They want to be able to take back their capital and then reinvest in another development. So we looked for a property partnership where our developers were able to have a fund that they could sell those properties into once they'd completed
them.
Oh,
so is that the deal with Capital Land or the Ascot? Is that they will take out the developers on your properties.
Correct. So for the first deal that we struck with them, the 20%, it really wasn't about the equity. It was probably more what they wanted at the time. But for us, the more important thing was the setting up of a $500 million Australian fund to acquire these assets at takeout, at lease commencement once they were completed. So under that arrangement.
So who's got the option, the developer or the fund?
The developer always has the option to sell to who they want to. But we tend to work with the developer very early days, even before they've secured a DA, and work together with them to really take out some of the guesswork around who they'll exit to, and allow them to do what they're good at doing, which is building efficiently into timescales and pricing, and then allow them to turn over developments quickly. So, you know, the first one that we announced through that partnership was will be our second property in Newquay in Docklands. So that's a 221 key hotel, which will be our largest in our network. You know, the price was around 70 odd million. It's being developed by MAB, and should be completed in about 8 months. Started construction a couple of weeks ago.
So is the plan long term to consolidate all ownership of your properties under Capital Land?
Not really. Look, Capital Land own probably around 20% or so of all of the operations of Ascot. So it's quite a small percentage. And most of what they do is through third-party management agreements. And I think for us, you know, we expect that there will be the alternative for one of the Ascot REITs or one of the Capital Land REITs to acquire our property on takeout. But it'll only be for a limited few, maybe 2, 3, 4 a year. And then the rest will continue to grow the way that we normally do, which is through, you know, other source of capital, other developers, other property owners that we partner with. And part of the attraction for us as well is around the fact that, you know, we are a large player in Australia. We're probably the largest apartment hotel operator in Australasia. We think we've got the capacity to grow by another 100 or so within the Australian market, and we're aggressively trying to do so in New South Wales and Queensland, WA, seeking development partners in those locations.
But I presume the plan now is to go international.
To go global, exactly.
Yeah. With your model of franchising.
That's right, yeah. So we've established now, we're in New Zealand and we're in Fiji, but that's, you know, a very small part of the world. So we've established a team now in the UK, and we've started to look for opportunities over there. And in the last month, we've sort of signed our first deal in the UK, which is quite exciting, in Liverpool. But I think if we're dependent on our own sources of capital to grow the brand globally, it'll take us a very long time. It took us 30 years in Australia. So we're hoping this will accelerate that global growth.
So what about you, Zed? How did you wash up on the shores of Quest Apartments?
Look, I had absolutely no background in hotels or hospitality. A bit like a lot of our franchisees, they don't necessarily come from a background of hospitality. It's more around business. I did a commerce law degree and started at Ernst & Young, and I was there for 9 or 10 years, mainly in corporate finance, spent some time in the UK. And then when I came back to Australia from the UK, got introduced to the owners of Quest and acted as a consultant for them for a couple of years, got to really understand the business. And what really attracted me to the business and the opportunity was around the macro factors around the industry. I mean, there's very few industries in Australia that have had consistent year-on-year growth between 4% and 5% for over 20 years, and hotels is one of them. And then, you know, see that 4% to 5% real growth within the industry, but supply growth's only about 1% or 2%. So there's a huge lag in being able to bring new supply to market with the amount of demand that exists, and it's
so
not easy.
Is anyone else in the world franchising apartments or accommodation in this way?
Not in this way. There's a lot of hospitality companies that have franchising as one of their suite of operating models, but their franchising models are more brand franchises, where the developer will actually leverage the brand from the hospitality owner, but the developer will not be the operator. So it's really around a brand to put on a property.
I don't understand that. What do you mean?
There's probably the easiest way to put it is a Jim's mowing franchise, where Jim's mowing, they have the van, they have the lawnmower, and you just pay for the shingle, and as distinct from McDonald's. McDonald's is where McDonald's actually
bring the
opportunity to the table.
So
McDonald's will train you, and it'll always remain a McDonald's. The franchisees will come and go, whereas with a brand franchise, if you don't like the brand one day, you take it off and put another brand on. With a business format franchise, which is what we are, the franchisees will come and go. The property will always remain a Quest.
So there's no other hospitality business format franchise like yours is?
No, there's not. It's
and what's the operating cost saving or efficiency benefit that you get from franchise?
Oh, there's a huge benefit like that. It's a huge benefit. I mean, if you compare, I mean, we're looking at a potential acquisition in Australia at the moment, and it's a managed model, very similar to our business. And, you know, they're trading at an average room rate 140. We're traveling in terms of the state at sort of closer to 200. Now, that enables you to be able to pay a higher rent, which enables us to have greater opportunity for a deal to stack up. And hotel deals aren't easy
to stack up. So that's 140 to 200 in difference in room rate.
Yeah, and the biggest change...
And what does that come about from?
Well, it's around the way in which you procure your customer base. So the Quest brand is focused around the extended stay corporate traveller. And roughly, you know, we deliver about 40 to 50% of the clientele to our franchisees through our relationships with the large national corporates. But then the other half really come from the franchisees' efforts in their own local market. So they'll go and procure the local SME businesses to come and stay at their property at typically a higher yield or a higher rate than you'll be able to secure through, say, leisure travellers who might come through online travel agent distribution. And of course, you have significant costs associated with procuring that type of traveller as well. You know, up to 20% of your revenue goes towards that. Whereas our business is... you know, almost exclusively direct. I mean, 75% of our business is
direct. So you're not paying commissions?
We're not paying commissions. And in this environment where you have a lot of the disruptors that have entered it into the hospitality market, it's critically important. So that efficiency, as well as having that mum and dad operator who are incentivised to make money for themselves and their families and build wealth, they're always going to beat out the managed operator. And we run some corporate-owned hotels alongside some of our franchise properties, only a handful of them, but they always outperform us.
So you should be able to sweep all before you going around the world, efficiency-wise.
Well, yeah, look, that's true. The one thing that probably you know, we have to look for is what the leasing laws are like in some of those markets and how relevant the leasing laws are to our business model, as well as some of the laws around IP. Because when you're franchising a brand, you're leveraging that brand. If you don't have strong laws protecting your brand, it could not end well. So also the other thing is around having demand for franchising. So in some markets like North America, the US, Canada, the UK, we're very optimistic. In less developed markets, it's probably more challenging to create a franchising business format model at this time.
We'll have to leave it there. It's been great talking to you, Zed.
Thanks, Alan.
I've been talking to Zed Sanjana, who's the CEO of Quest Apartment Hotels.